Again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Nam Sankirtan Yajna Ki. Thank you. We're okay, Prabhu? Okay, so how are these 10 offenses all expressions of envy towards the Supreme Lord Himself? Satam Ninda, to criticize, to diminish, to speak badly of, to offend the devotees of the Lord. Wow. How is that envy towards God? It's about a devotee, isn't it? But if you envy someone, and then there are many people who appreciate that person, then your dislike, your criticism of those persons is your envy of God. Huh? You envy God. You envy a person, and so many other person love that person. Then you have something with them also that you don't appreciate. You can become critical. So it goes to God. The second offense, to consider the names, to consider demigods to be equal towards Vishnu. Why is that an offense? Why is that envy towards God? Because just like if there's somebody tells you about somebody very special and unique and wonderful, and you say, yeah, I know someone like that too. I know someone else just like that. You equate them. And suddenly you've taken away the unique position of that first person. So if you think Shiva, Brahma, oh, they also have the powers God has, it's a form of envy, because God himself, Bhagavan, he's completely incomparable. He's the one unique, complete person. So if you say anyone else is just like that, that's also an expression. It's coming from a place, others are like that too. Oh. And what's the third offense? Yes. A third offense. So also blaspheming the Vedic literatures, right? So, say there's an author. I've got nothing against the author, but the book he wrote, that's awful. It's terrible. That's an offense to the author, no? So the scriptures are actually coming from God. So to find some fault or to blaspheme them in some way is another expression of envy towards God. So like this, if you look at each of these offenses, there's a way in which they connect. They're different ways of expressing envy towards the Supreme Lord. Sorry, I had them. The third one was actually to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, to minimize the position of the guru. The guru is Shakshat Harit Vena, is the direct representative of God. Sakshat means direct. Harit Va. Now, he's not Hari, but he's Harit Va. Harit Va means he has the quality of God with him. Haritva, Haritvena, as it says. So, therefore, to offend in him, minimize him, is directly also offense to God, envy. So, all of these. So then the Shastra we mentioned, to consider the glories of the name to be an exaggeration. The glories, we're hearing so many glories, but to think, this is an exaggeration, means to assert my own opinion. It stops the flow of mercy from coming. It's also envy why we do this. We speculation. I'll figure it out. I know better than what all of our acharyas are saying. All of them say, no, everything that's said about the holy name is completely true, but if I have the opinion, these seem like exaggerations just to get me to chant. It can't be this powerful. It can't be this wonderful. It can't actually reveal God. So that's me asserting myself over what's coming down as a flow of mercy. I say no to it. Out of its envy of God, because he is his name, and it's given. And God is trying to give you everything, and you say, I don't believe it, or it's exaggerated. To give some interpretation of the name. Again, that's me giving the interpretation. I become the superior person in this situation. I give an interpretation. No interpretation. We just hear the name. We hear what the acharyas have said about the name. That's because this is avarohapanta. It's the descending process. We are, like we said, powerless before the power of the name. The name has the vastu shakti. And so avarohapanta means it just has to come into me. I don't assert through speculation, imagination, my opinion, but it's a begging for the name to do what it can do. So this way, these are all forms of one thing, one ancient, as I said, ancient fundamental samskar that is much more heavy and dark and dense than all the other sins that may be in our system. We have this chitta, right? You imagine the chitta like a globe and all these floating dust particles, all these imprints, and some sinful acts, and everything is there interacting. But there's one big dark cloud, and if that one big dark cloud is addressed and focused on, and one can overcome it, then everything else dissipates. The sins fall away. The bad habits fall away. Because we're getting to the root of the whole issue. So another thing worth mentioning with the 10 offenses is that the first one is called, in the verse, describing the first offense, which is Satam Ninda, Vaishnav Ninda, criticizing devotees. It's called Paramam Aparadam. It is the greatest offense. Those who are on the path to Krishna. This is a hard one. This is the big problem. This is like the main thing, the main issue. Offense to devotees. And it's also described that if this one alone is focused on, then the other ones can also fall away much more easily. And the verse that's quoted to substantiate that point is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta praishu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhaviti naishtaki. So, nasta praishu abhadreshu. Abhadreshu means inauspicious things. And our acharyas explain that those inauspicious things are the 10 offenses to the holy name. That's what's inauspicious inside of us. Offense. So what's the solution? It's not just don't criticize the devotees, but you have to do the opposite of that. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You have an attitude of serving two Bhagavats. The Srimad Bhagavatam. How do you serve Srimad Bhagavatam? Just by hearing. Hearing with faith. That's service to Bhagavatam. So that has to be there. And also service to the other Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat. So not just, okay, don't do this, don't do that, but you have to do the opposite of what it's telling you not to do, which means kindness, love, service. Sometimes we think it's our service to criticize the devotees as a service, right? Have you ever come across this? Now, it may be somebody's service to talk about what's happening, to protect other devotees. Say some devotee does something actually abominable, harms other devotees or things like that. So it may be somebody's service. They may have a guru. That may be the person, that's the service. That's the one who should perform that service. Or it may be someone who's in charge of a community saying, oh, this was not good. But without enmity and hatred and resentment, one just makes arrangements and be done with it. But what do we do nowadays? Oh, so many people will start putting so many things out there in the name of serving others and protecting them by saying all the faults of them. And just, you know, nowadays you put it on Facebook or some platform like that, and it just, there's this back and forth, and it's all offense, actually. It's not service. It's very detrimental. And it's going into people's minds. And it's also, nowadays, it's also staying out there forever. Who knows? Years could pass and someone comes across some article of something offending somebody with words. So it has lasting consequences. And it's not, could that actually be pleasing to Krishna? Could that really be pleasing? So it may be somebody's service to do something and say something. Let that happen. But for me, to get into it from my position of not any kind of authority or any kind of connection, but for me to jump in and also start with so many words, it's very dangerous. If that is a habit, we can't chant the holy name. We can't really utter the holy name. Actually, Sridhar Swami, he says, even if the faults are true, you think, well, if they're Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Shishi Gaura Nitai ki, Krishna Balaram ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we might think, well, yes, certainly we don't know what's true or what's false, so let's not say anything. But someone will say, well, I know something is true. I saw it. So I can speak on it. I have the right to speak the truth. And this is what happened. So even if it's true, it should not be done. Now again, I'm not saying nobody should do it, but is this my service to do it, to be the one to step in and get very involved, become the police? Not everybody's meant to be the police. There's a police walking around just looking for somebody doing something wrong. Ah, I'm a police. You're not a police officer. You can't arrest somebody in the street. You don't have that service. But somebody does. Yeah. When I asked my spiritual master what it really means to offend the devotees, he said, it means to break the heart of a devotee. To break the heart of a devotee. So it's pretty serious. Usually we can make some mistakes. You know, this is a little bit different. We make mistakes, but to hurt, to intentionally hurt the heart of a devotee. What to speak of intentional, even accidental. We have many nice pastimes also. Even if there's some accidental hurting, and we may need time and space to rectify things because of what has happened. Let's say something has happened to us. So we may need time and space, but we should be on a journey of forgiveness. Whatever that means, however long, but I shouldn't have an unforgiving heart. I shouldn't have a very strong, no, this person did this, done. I know people like that. We must all know somebody like that. I will never forgive this person for what they did. Have you ever heard that from someone? So that is very heavy block, a block. What's it blocking? It's blocking God in our life. It feeds the samskara that blocks us from God. It feeds it. It's one expression of it. So at least we have to be on this journey of overcoming this. If a devotee was offended, you can go to that devotee and when the time is right, and also beg forgiveness that this has happened. And I just want to say, whatever the situation can be explained, can be talked about. And then with that, you'll feel that now you can go back to the name and chant. It will be different if you can forgive. But if holding it, and chanting will be hard. True chanting will be hard. Also, it's described in Mahabharata, when you're thinking about the faults of certain people or in your mind, considering what they did and what they did to you or what they did to somebody else, and you indulge in that, you're actually creating, energetically, you create a bridge. You create an attachment to that person, and coming across that bridge is their faults into your heart. Those faults that you focus on and hate and dislike, if it becomes a meditation, then they come into your heart because you've created this link. When you hate somebody, you're attached, right? You can't get them out of your mind. It's attachment, just like love is attachment. Fear is also an attachment. You fear something so much. We have to be careful what we fear. Devotees should have no fear. If you're constantly fearing something, you're connecting to it. It may have to come to you so that you can overcome that fear. Whatever it is that you fear. So anyway, it's like that. So when we're focused. This is why also it's very difficult to be a leader in this world, because so many people focus on the faults of a leader. That means that leader has to actually absorb so many things energetically coming to them and still be strong and go forward and do what's necessary. But actually, they're the target. Imagine like a whole nation can focus on one person. And so we shouldn't be the one also sending that. It's harming them and harming us. So we let go of these things. We have enough to focus on. We want to chant purely. We want to connect to Krishna. So we don't get totally absorbed in all these things. We have so. If you're really on the path of sadhana, bhakti, then there's enough for us to do. So you can, if something's going wrong, okay, that's maybe not good association. And if there's a few people around you, you can say that and be done with it. It's quick. But to indulge, to enter into, to relish, to get absorbed, to in your mind later again and again, feeding. What are you feeding? Envy in your heart. That's when it becomes dangerous and continues to feed this ancient samskar offense, aparad. Okay. So, we'll go to the next verse. I want to pause for a moment. See if there are any reflections, questions, comments. Yes, we have a question here. Here you go.
This probably has more to do with the first session, but it still has something. I was just thinking of, you know, in one sense, all the work that one has to do in order to purify themselves, you know, of so many anarthas. But I was also meditating on how when I first got a Krishna book, I was reading it, and after every chapter, there's like a benediction, you know, that if you read this, this is what happens, or, you know, so many things that if you do this, if you chant these names, then all your sins from all your lifetimes are completely removed. Or just circumambulating Tulsi and watering Tulsi, that, you know, even the sin of killing a Brahmin is removed.
Yes.
So all of those things, right, are so much a part of what Prabhupada gave us to help us, speed us along in the path.
That's very true. So many gifts, so many blessings are coming in so many ways to really absorb ourselves in those things. We don't have to get too obsessed with offense and anarthas. I'll read one quote about that from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Just because it's nice. He said, you may have distracting thoughts when you're chanting, and these different anarthas may come up. He said, don't consider it a big deal. You just chant. Let me read this. Okay. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he wrote something called Upadesh. Forgetting now, but it's his final instruction. He gave 24 final instructions to some of... Upadeshamrita. Yeah, Upadeshamrita. So the nectar of the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta. Gave 24 instructions at the end of his life for his followers and disciples. And this is the last one, number 24. And it's just like advice he's giving to perfect, to become Krishna conscious. He says, as mundane thoughts arise while taking Harinam, one should not become discouraged. A secondary consequence of taking Harinam is that these useless mundane thoughts will gradually dissipate. Therefore, one should not worry too much about this. By dedicating one's mind, body, and words to serving Sri Nam and continuing the chant with great persistence, Sri Nam Prabhu will grant one darshan of his supremely auspicious transcendental form. And by continuing to chant until one's anarthas are fully eradicated by the power of Srinam, realization of his qualities and pastimes will automatically arise. So he's also following that step by step. First the name, then the first thing to be revealed is the form, then the qualities, then the pastimes, everything comes. So it's nice because it just made me think of that, because he's saying just focus on your dedication to Nam, do those things that are positive, oh, so many blessings, and don't worry too much. Don't get obsessed also with anarthas and offense, but become aware of them definitely, and try not to feed them by committing the 10 offenses to the name. There's all ways of feeding that offense.
Prabhu, what if, you know, you apologize to someone, you know, say you're sorry, and they don't accept it, you know, then what? Like, how does that work on both sides?
Yes, so that then... You see, a Vaishnav forgives very easily also, or they also accept. A Vaishnav, this is interesting, a Vaishnav doesn't really take offense. Okay, but there's different levels of Vaishnavas, right? So some may take offense. But a real Vaishnav doesn't take offense. But because there are levels of Vaishnav, some may carry some resentment and not be able to forgive. So that's a journey they're on. So what acharyas say, this is very... advanced. So say you go to beg forgiveness and the person does not give it. So then you should find a way, even if it's secretly, you find a way to serve that person now. Find some way where, imagine if, you know, this just imagine this actually happening. Let's say, you know, you offended somebody, but you feel deep regret. Krishna's revealed that something was wrong, and you go to that person to apologize. They don't accept. And you think, okay, now I will make a plan to serve this person nicely. Whatever happens, I'm just going to do that. You find some way. Maybe there's a kindness that's done for their family member. Maybe there's some way you get involved and help them with some service they're doing. without even making a big deal or show about it, but you enter in and you serve. And they start to see that. Oh, that was a nice gesture. But if you continue doing that, you're changing their heart. You can change their heart that way, and they can let go. But if somehow it's a devotee who's just, whatever, they have their own journey, and they will not forgive no matter what, then it says you should incessantly chant the holy name. Along with that repentance, you've done your part now. So now take deep shelter of the holy name and chant incessantly, and that will also be forgiven by the Lord. So there's always something. So we try with the person, but who knows, right? We don't know what kind of person we're talking about. But we should, if we're on the other end of needing to give forgiveness, we should give it. Oh, you've come to me so humbly. I was also part of this. This was not just one person that you offended. Usually it's like that, right? It's a mutual thing. There's a back and forth. And so I can see also, you've come to me so humbly now, I'm also regretting that this had happened. I forgive you. And it may be a journey. Forgiveness, you can't just snap your fingers, but at least we should all be on that journey of forgiving.
Thank you for this seminar. It's very nice to see people are enthused to hear Shikshastika, which is the essence of the Vedas. I really appreciate you're doing this.
Grateful.
You mentioned something before about the Shakti of the holy name, and we don't have to do anything, just be there and chant, and then the Shakti will come. But it's not, I don't see it exactly like that, because that's impersonalism in a way. When we chant, we are developing our relationship with Krishna, with the holy name. This is our time to be with Krishna. And there are two things, the Vishaya and the Ashraya. So, and it's a give and take relationship. You know, we have to make ourselves receptive, which you did mention about purifying our existence so that we can chant purely. But this is a very important thing that you have with Krishna, this relationship when you're chanting. You have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. You don't, if you're passive, then the same effect will happen. Something, of course, the holy name is there and the potency will come. But if we're absorbed and making an effort to develop our relationship with Krishna, then we can fall in love with him.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, it's true. I mean, in one sense, it's like, you know, we have to receive the grace of Krishna. That clinches it. But we have to do so much, actually, to get to that point of being able to receive. There's so much we're called upon to do. It's like we talked in the first session that kirtan means also sneha samyukta, that you do it with affection for the Lord. It's the name is a person. So it's a relationship. It's affection. You also bring that to your chanting. Yes, so. And you're aware of offenses. You try to let go of some of them. These are all things to do. So, yes, thank you.
So, yes, if I might ask, you mentioned the different qualities of the holy name. There's the Paramatma quality and like that. And so often we are in dialogue with Christian groups or Christian individuals. And so I think there's a tendency to feel that because the philosophy, as we see it, the philosophies on which Christianity is based are very incomplete in comparison to the Vedic understanding. The feeling is that, we're superior. And that's not a good feeling. And then in terms of their chanting of the holy name, they're chanting, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. So they're also worshiping the name. And that their rasa is one of son, father, son rasa. But therefore, you know, it's like, okay, is Mother Yashoda less than Radharani? You know, you have that understanding that there's a quality difference, because we're so much involved in the material sense of different qualities and different. So this to me seems to be a very difficult hurdle in our outreach to other groups.
Yes, thank you. Feeling superior. That's the next verse, what the next verse is about, how that has to go to be able to chant the holy name. Feeling superior. Great gift and blessing has been upon us, so we shouldn't think, well, so much information and knowledge and teachings and practices have been given as a gift to me. So I'm not superior, but now I have more of a responsibility. So then therefore be an example of what's been given to help others, the Christians and these other religions. These are our brothers and sisters. You know, brothers and sisters on the spiritual path. So we have all respect. And actually, we should not really try to change their faith also. Some faith is there in the heart that's awakened, and some connection is there. And unless someone comes forward and really looking for some kind of a change or what else is possible, we shouldn't go to try to change a person's faith. Shraddha Devi. Shraddha Devi is in the heart working just according to what that person needs on their journey. And if we come and say, ah, that's no good, have this. Even we can do this within, you know, our own tradition with different gurus. Ah, you've got that guru, but this guru, and, you know, changing. There's a faith, there's a connection that's just right for a person. And we think that we can shift that or change that in some way. So if someone is open to hear, but we shouldn't go with that motive. So we should just be respectful. There's many. If we're respectful and we really appreciate, then there's also so many things we can learn from each other. So we should see all these different religions as brothers, our brothers and sisters. And we'll see how the next verse also addresses this. Amanina, manadena, offering all respect. Okay, let's continue, because we just have this last verse, and there's some wonderful things that have been shared with us about this last verse. And listen to the prelude verse, the verse that precedes Trinada Pisunichana, because it really just, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, this is what he says. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 20, text 20. Ye rupe laila nama prema upajai tahara lakshana shuna svarup ramarai. So again, he's in Gambira speaking to Ramananda Roy Svarup Damodar, and he tells them, so Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Svarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj also, earlier in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also explains that this verse that we're about to chant together, Lord Chaitanya also gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami. Right, he told Raghunath Das Goswami, he gave him a few instructions. He said, don't speak like ordinary people speak. Don't wear fancy clothes. Don't eat all kinds of tasty foods. These instructions are for renunciates. I mean, it's for all of us, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says especially this is for the renunciate, these instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami, because he was a real renunciate. So Lord Chaitanya was appreciated that Raghunath Das Goswami was very renounced, and he gave him these instructions. And then after all the instructions he gave, as if to sum up all those instructions, he said, and now take this verse as your life. And he quoted this verse, third verse of Shikshastakam. So Lord Chaitanya also here is saying, this verse is the path to love. And also Srila Prabhupada, right? Prabhupada, you know, worked also like in a kind of pharmacy with different drugs and different formulas and things like that. And he was visited one time by some of his god brothers from the Gaudiya Math, and they came to see him. And Prabhupada was always so delighted to see devotees coming to his, where he was working, his place. And when they came, when he saw them come in, he said, "I have found the formula for love of God. I've figured it out. I found it. If you have this and this and you put them together, you'll have love of God." And Abhay Charan Prabhu, please tell us, what is this formula? And he quoted this verse. So let's sing. This is so from all places, this verse has been glorified as the love for Krishna has to run through this verse. You cannot skip it. And chanting purely has to run through this verse. So let's chant together. Charnadapi sunichena tadoriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his samadhi, in his ecstasy at Gambira, this verse flows from his heart. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they look at these four lakshanas. So first thing that's said is that, first of all, these four qualities, humility, tolerance, expecting nothing, no respect, but giving respect, these four lakshanas are the symptoms of a pure devotee. So this is the symptoms of a pure devotee, but also to be practiced by the sadhaka. So if you have love of God, if you are a pure devotee, these manifest naturally. And if you're on the path trying to come to this place of chanting purely, then they also have to be brought into your life behavior. This is to go along with the chanting. Because it's talking about respecting people. This is not something you do while you're chanting. It means in your life, expect very little from others. Give generously. Become tolerant and humble, very humble, lower than the grass. It doesn't say become like the grass. Become lower than the grass. So they all have comments on these four qualities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something interesting about grass. He says, grass has the false ego that I am grass. How do you become lower than grass? Because grass thinks I am grass, and therefore I do what grass does. You have to go lower than that, realizing that you have actually no connection to this conditioned nature. You are Atma. The grass hasn't done that. The grass hasn't gone that deep in humility to realize that I am not this grass. I'm part and parcel of God, actually. So lower than the grass means like that. So, you know, also, a human being, we can go lower than our natural nature even, right? Some person can become like a person who becomes some kind of harsh criminal. It's like subhuman. You could become subhuman, but the grass can never become subgrass. It is what it is. It's kind of honest. It just is what it is. It's obedient to the laws of nature, which means the laws of God. So there's obedience. It just does what it does. It's kind of simple. We're not always so simple. We hide, we pretend, we intentionally hurt. This is less than a human being, actually. A real human being doesn't act like that. Civilized human being. So we can go lower in sense of becoming more degraded than even the grass. So we are actually lower than the grass. So these are some comments. Well, there are many symptoms of the offenses, too, and one of them is Jiva Goswami gives six symptoms of offenses. If you have offense to the Lord, also there are symptoms that will come into your heart. And one of them is kautilya, which means to be pretentious, to pretend, to be crooked. Crookedness is how it's translated in English. So the human being can be crooked. Grass is not crooked. Grass is just grass. It just does what it does. So this humility is especially before God and before Guru and before the Vaishnavas. Very humble. Very humble, dependent. But in our relations with people of this world, this humility can take two forms. It can be very humble and passive and gentle, but it can also be assertive when the time calls for it. That's also humble. So it doesn't mean that you just become, you know, stepped on by others, you know, I'm so humble that you can do anything you want to me. That will just build resentment. So it has two forms on the material level. But before those transcendental things, those transcendental persons, before Guru, Krishna, complete humility, I'm your servant. Whatever you ask, I will try to do. But we don't have that attitude to everybody we meet on the street. We have to guard ourselves a little bit because we're dealing with conditioned souls. And so we can also get affected and hurt. And so you may have to take a stand for yourself. If someone is doing something against you that's harmful or harmful to those around you, then you become like a lion, not like a little lamb. You become strong, assertive, in the best way, in a healthy way, not with resentment or enmity, but you have to do the needful on the material platform. So don't think humility means that you just become a very weak, passive person. But before Guru, completely humble. Okay, so this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he says this verse, this is his comment on it, just to explain it. He has his own purport. So he says in the next verse, these are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he's very exalted, Uttama, he says, although he's exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. And like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. Yes, so what are those two ways? So the grass, that was a little bit of humility from some notes on the point of humility. And also tolerance now. So he's tolerant, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in two ways. So let's see what he says. What are those two ways? So the first way, when a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. This is the first example of what it means to be tolerant, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It means when we're provoked, to cut the tree. We can also be cut with somebody's words. One does not seek revenge, one becomes silent. Not responding, not getting revenge, not complaining, silent, just like the tree. So this is the first idea of tolerance. Tolerate it. Don't just react, respond. We're very quick to react, respond. And then very quickly that entangles us in all kinds of drama. But one can simply endure it. Endurance, this is what it means. To patiently endure what may come to you. And a verse is given. A verse that expresses how to react to things coming into us from this material world that can be difficult. In one place, this is the verse to understand how to suffer when suffering comes in so many different ways. So this is from Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Famous verse, Tate nukampam shushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapubir vidadan namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadayabak. So this is a verse for how to tolerate difficulties that come to us in material life. One should pray like this. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So, patiently enduring through difficulties in life. We want to speak about it very quickly, actually, but sometimes it's also good. We may have to do that. But there's also a way of enduring it internally. We have to see if that works for us. You know, maybe I'm just bubbling more and more inside by not allowing myself to express it. So one thing is to express it. That can also be good. Hopefully without enmity or hatred, but just to get it out. But you see, sometimes that gives a little relief, but doesn't quite get rid of what's there. And so then what to do? I patiently endure it, and I take shelter of the holy name. Krishna can remove it, can change my heart. Okay, so this are the two ways to be like a tree. That was the first. The second one, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this, and the tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. So, this is the example of the tree. This is the other part. It gives. It continues to be generous. Generosity, giving, fruits, flowers, shade. Whatever's taken from it, it doesn't complain. But it also gives something, compassion. Let's remember, these are very special spiritual qualities. These are not material qualities, because there's also a material tolerance. If you try to just apply this with material consciousness, because a material consciousness... Under-giving is a fault, right? You give less than you could. That's a fault. But also over-giving is also a fault. Over-giving. If you're in material consciousness. Because you don't have the capacity to do that. You'll start to feel resentful. You'll start to want something back from others. I've given you so much. You haven't done anything. Well, those thoughts and feelings come because that's the nature of material consciousness. It's not pure. So, under-giving is a fault, and over-giving is also a fault. So we should know that these qualities that we're being asked to practice have to go along with the chanting of the holy name. So we are trying to do these things, but we should know, once I try, because it's coming from Guru, it's coming from Acharyas, this instruction, and I take shelter of the name, then one gets the power to do these things. But if you take out the holy name, if you take out Krishna, the connection to Guru Parampara, and a person is just trying to be humble in all circumstances, they'll get drained and resentful. If they're trying to be tolerant, give, give. Don't we all know people who just give too much and they're just very unhappy? Because it's very advanced to be able to give with no expectation in return. That is a spiritual blessing that comes from trying to do these qualities along with chanting the name and receiving grace. So certainly we try, but our trying is not just to be moral people. You know, there's always just this, you know, be a good moral person. Be humble. Be loving. Be kind to everyone. If it just comes as some moral instruction to a person who's conditioned, they try and they see it doesn't really work. I'm still not happy. I expect now from others. But still, we make some effort. You can get to sattva-gun. That's peaceful. That gives some satisfaction. If you're a really good person, just... on a moral level, you can touch sattva-gun, that gives a little pleasure, but you have not overcome the dark clouds deep, deep, deep in your consciousness. You've figured something out, modifying, you're getting some pleasure, some peace that comes from sattva, but it does not overcome. You still have to take another birth until these deep anarthas, offenses, are focused on. Okay, just a few minutes left. So, quickly, amanina. That amanina means one should not expect anything for themselves. We have every conditioned soul has some kind of identity. Why do we create some kind of identity for ourselves? Because we've lost touch with our Atma. So then we build up some other identity to cling to. And as soon as you've created an identity for yourself that's not real, then you have expectations of others connected to your identity. Like say I've become a successful person in this world. I've worked hard and that's who I am. Or I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya. And I've worked hard, or whatever it may be. As soon as that identity is there and you're very, very absorbed in it, then others should, because I'm this, others should now treat me this way. This can take place even of a person who has a very low opinion of themselves or low identity or just a very low position. They also will then think something like, well, therefore I have these rights. Because I'm in this situation, because, you know, it's even a negative kind of identity that I'm attached to, then others should treat me with sympathy, with compassion. They should give me this, do this. So it could be negative or positive. Like in the sense of someone does very good things, and they'll also expect now, hey, I deserve respect. I've done so many good things in my life. So it's simply the nature, again, of material consciousness, that you can go to the positive, so-called successful, positive, good things of life, and then you have immediately some mana. Mana means conceit. I am this, so you should be like this towards me. But if one doesn't have that, if one realizes, I'm none of this, this is a conditioning. It is external to my soul. Then one has no expectation for respect. So again, we hear these things, it sounds impossible, but don't forget, this is not something you're going to muster up or figure out or can perfectly apply, but we meditate on it. It's a glorious, this is truth. And as we chant, these things can come as gifts. So, Amanina, we don't expect, but also we should be, but very respectful to others. So we don't treat others like that. Oh, you're spirit, so I can. But we also, if someone has Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you come across someone very distinguished or a very qualified Brahmana, Brahmana means Sattvagun, very high level of Sattvagun, you give them great respect and honor. If someone has some important position in this world, he says also, you give good respect and honor to that person. Also the demigods, you give them great respect. Everything that is being given to us through nature, there is some personality behind it. So you have great respect for the demigods, and you should pray to them, he says, for Hari Bhakti. This is the relationship to the demigods, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You are grateful and respectful for what is given, and pray to them for Hari Bhakti, for Bhakti to the Supreme Lord. So the offering of respect should be appropriate, suitable respect to the person. So it's not exactly identical to all kinds of people, all in the same way, the same form. But he goes through these different categories. And if you come across a Vaishnava, a very advanced Vaishnava, well, first also, if you come across someone who needs something, somebody's in need, some conditioned soul also, then you respect them. You also help however you can with great mercy. And if you come across a Vaishnava who's very advanced, you respect them by seva, by offering service to them. So this is how respect is offered. And what allows him or her to respect these people in all these different ways? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the next verse, this is his comment also, on offering respect. He says, although a Vaishnav, again, is the most exalted person, he is prideless. So he doesn't need anything from others. He's independent. And he gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. Krishna is, so he has the vision that Krishna is in the heart of all beings. Therefore, I offer appropriate respect to this person in this way, this person in that way. And he gives all the details of different kinds of people, how respect is offered. But you see in the heart, Krishna's in their heart. Krishna's resting there. I honor them in this way, respectfully. And then following all this, he says, if one chants the holy name of Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. Can we do a few minutes of kirtan if you're able to stay? A couple hands are up. You guys are okay with going a little longer? Okay. It's a long, time to sit down, so just stretch if you need to. And if you need to leave, that's okay. But if there are a couple questions, maybe we can do a couple questions. And also for those who are able to chant a little, one last time, a few minutes together. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I've been thinking about what is in our power when we humbly approach the holy name. It seems like whatever we bring to the table, if it's sincere, Krishna magnifies it. Reciprocating in that way, that reciprocation starts right away. So what I can give and what Krishna gives, it seems he gives way more than what we can offer.
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. We give what we can give. Well, first of all, a commitment to chanting. We bring our attention. We try to avoid offenses. These are all things that we bring. When Krishna's pleased, then the name can manifest through some of these clouds that are dissipated within our heart. Yeah. Keep it going. Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Every time you mention something related to envy, the judgment or came to mind. How we are so quick to judge.
Yes.
And it's not easy not being like that.
No.
We somehow having wanting or not wanting, we've been trying to automatically judge someone or something or an action.
Yes.
On the same tone, there is a quote that I wanted to share on that I love and I try to live by. It says, be quick to listen and be slow to speak. And it kind of links to the prejudging of something or someone. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah, judgment also. Who's the judge? Who judges things? Everything is set up already. There's already a judicial system in place. It's called karma. So the judge, it's already set up by God. So when we become the judge, it's like we're playing God. That's also our envy towards God. I'll judge the situation. Sometimes we can just wait, let things unfold, try to support whatever's happening rather than quick to judge and criticize, because that's already in place. There's already a system in place for that. I don't have to jump in and have, and I don't see anything also. I don't see the full picture. Like you said, we can be too quick and we don't know what's happened and all the details and what's in that person's heart. And so to judge is insanity often, because we see a little fragment of a big picture of a history of a jiva, of a other beings, of the history of that person. So slow, like you said, slow to judge. And you can just let it go. And try to be a nice example. Yes. Haribo.
So Prabhu, I don't mean to embarrass you, but you know, everyone I think really appreciated the seminar. And my understanding is that if you're given something, you know, that you feel valuable, that you should also give something in return. So I was wondering what the best way to do that would be. I mean, people could, you know, offer prasadam, or they could give you a donation, wow. You know, something like that, just to, you know, to make it, when you, like you said, when you get, then you give. So
you've already given by being present and hearing. And I imagine, you know, I was thinking no one's going to come back to the second session because it's already been a long day. But all of you here is inspiring me, giving me some opportunity to serve. I feel like it's equal. We're reciprocating right now, you know. is somebody speaks, somebody hears, that's service to each other. So there's no question of me being able to do this if others, if devotees weren't encouraging and coming and listening and hearing, sharing. So I feel very satisfied at heart and grateful for your kindness to mention that. But I'm full. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Just a few minutes of kirtan, anyone who can, like, you can see what has affected you or impacted you, and now is the time to bring it into the name. Srimad Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. The Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar ki. Shri Krishna Balarama ki. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki. Shri Shikshastakam ki. Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. We can again just think, one, two, three. One, two, three. First verse, the glories of the name, how wonderful. Second verse, oh, but yet I feel distant from this mercy that's being given. Third verse, humility, tolerance, respectful, no expectation. It's all there. This is the way to chant, given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatara Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Prinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Nam Nam, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Nam Nam, Hare Hare. Na Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Nam, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara, Dashama Sundara De. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Shishi Radha Shama Sundara Ki, Krishna Balarama Ki, Shishi Gora Nitai Ki, Gora Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.